أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الصلاة والسلام على رسول كريم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. The eighth phrase: وهو حي لا يموت. وهو حي لا يموت. And he is living and dies not. So Allah is the one who is alive, who is eternal, who is everlasting. He's the first and the last, who's everlasting. Everything will perish, but Allah is the one who is alive and eternal. And we always remind it when we see the gravestones. Al-Baqi huwa al-Baqi. He is eternal. He is the enduring one. And looking at anything in the creation, we see the stamp of finitude. Everything is impermanent, everything is transitory, everything is vanishing, perishing, everything has a limit. And that's a law in nature. Anything that grows will also die. And you look at empires from a macro level, something grows and then diminishes. Read all these history books and you see even those great empires, you know, they grow, they had a beginning and then they had an end. The same with human beings on a micro level. Every tiny being, you have a beginning and you have an end. But when we say this phrase, وَهُوَ حَيُّ لَا يَمُوتُ, it speaks to something that the human being desires and yearns for, eternity. And so in the eighth phrase, it says to us, that is to say, the possessor of a beauty, perfection, and munificence that are infinitely superior to the beauty, perfection, and munificence to be seen in the creatures of the universe, and that arouse love, and an eternal object of worship, an everlasting beloved, a single manifestation of whose beauty is sufficient to replace all other beloveds, has an enduring life through pre-eternity and post-eternity. A life free from any trace of cessation, or ephemerality, excuse me, and exempt from any fault, defect, or imperfection. So if there's a trace of finitude, if something has an end, if something has is impermanent, it's already imperfect. That's already a defect, because human nature desires for eternity, for immortality, for that beauty to last forever and the perfection to be ever present. And we do love things because of these three reasons that were mentioned earlier. You know, I'm attracted to things that display beauty, perfection, and munificence, generosity, ihsan. And so this always comes up, that the human nature desires or is drawn to beauty, perfection, and generosity or goodness. We are all created like that. Each human being is naturally drawn to these three qualities. I mean, you look at the flower because of its beauty. You're drawn to it because of its beauty. It displays beauty. But then after a while, the flower decays and then you turn your gaze away. Well, why has it attracted your attention? Because of its beauty. And so it's very, very easy to love the flower, to admire it, to praise it, because that beauty is so evident and it's undeniable and it naturally attracts awe and admiration. And then the other quality is perfection. You know, we read about the great people of the past. We've never met them. But we desire to be in their spiritual presence, or we are drawn to them. We are interested in their lives because they display a sense of perfection. It's because of a beautiful character trait, or it's about something in their character and their personality that draws our attention. We've never met them, But there is this certain perfection that they display, whether it's through their virtues, their values, their resilience, their way of life, that makes us feel connected to them, because those are the values and virtues that we also aspire to display in our own lives. So when you read those biographies and, you know, the lives of the pious and the devout, you have a connection and admiration because of a sense of perfection they display. I mean, they are human beings, but there is a beauty and perfection that is coming out in their lives. And then you're also drawn to, or I'm drawn to it, like every human being, to generosity, to goodness. And somebody, you know, a person who is expressing qualities of goodness, kindness, generosity, fairness, all of this is a reason enough for us to seek their presence, right? So beauty, perfection, and munificence are the three reasons that arouse love. We love things because of Jamal, Kamal, and Ihsan. And when those qualities disappear in human beings, which they do because they are finite, they are impermanent, and they are deficient, as was explained here, they are imperfect, then we withdraw our attention, or we, you know, withdraw our interests, or we are kind of disappointed. So the human heart then is one that desires infinite beauty, absolute perfection, and eternal generosity. But looking around in the creation, we realize that everything that we have a loving relationship has a stamp of impermanence and ephemerality and defect and imperfection and fault. Right? Your very most intimate partner and husband can display weakness or imperfection, or say a hurtful word, or be disinterested, disengaged, not present, not engaged, right? We all go through these experiences that even our very close, in very close loving relationships, that we experience fault, defect, and imperfection. And then that, of course, disturbs that love, right? It's not a pleasant state to experience, but this is the reality of the world. But when we say وَهُوَ حَيُّ لَا يَمُوتُ, Allah is a living, Allah is alive, Allah is eternal, He is the one who dies not, which means that all these qualities of beauty, perfection, and generosity, they are also eternal. They don't disappear if our relationship is rooted and based on Allah. And so it's a horizontal kind of relationship. It starts with Allah, and from that starting point, it flows into the other relationships. I engage with human beings and with my fellow human beings and love them and are attached to them on the basis of my love to Allah, knowing that they are all His creation, and that His beauty and perfection and munificence is displayed to them. They are a reflection of that, but they don't own that beauty and perfection. That's a different type of relationship. It's one where the heart is not suffering, because your departure point is Allah, who is the one beyond fault, beyond defect, beyond imperfection. Thus, this phrase proclaims to the jinn and the human being, to all conscious, here's good news for you. There exists an everlasting beloved who will cure and bind the wounds caused by countless separations from the ones you love. SubhanAllah, everything will leave us. Either we will leave them or they will leave us. What are we attached to? Maybe we are attached to our beauty, our youth, our health, our families, our spouses, our husbands, our children, our wealth, our possessions. And every time those loved ones or the things that we love separate from us, we suffer love. We suffer from that separation. And we are wounded. But when we say, Wa huwa hayyul la yamut, Allah is not dying. And those qualities are enduring. They are eternal. Then I don't need to be overly sad or excessively sad, because Allah is the one who is ever present. He is an everlasting beloved. He will never leave me. He will never abandon me. He will never neglect me. He will never dismiss me. He will never hurt me or harm me. Subhanallah. But our loved ones or the things that we love, just the thought of separation, if they are the soul or the absolute object of our love, then we become wounded, extremely wounded, right? So, and Allah in His mercy and generosity, He will return our loved ones back to us. If our relationship was built based on our strong love and attachment to Allah, then He will also reunite us with our loved ones. It's not an everlasting separation. And all the qualities that we loved in people or things are His qualities. We might love generosity in people, kindness, fairness, their sense of justice, their love, their mercy, their gentleness, their sense of forgiveness, their humility, their knowledge. We admire them maybe for a certain charisma and appearance and this and beauty. But in reality, all of the things that we love are owned by Allah. He is the source, the enduring source, the everlasting source. And so in my case, I am saddened about the departure of my daughter. But I understand she also was a reflection, a beautiful mirror of those divine qualities. Her gentleness, her absolute sense of forgiveness, her compassion and love. All of these, Allah loved me through her. She was a special blessing where I was allowed to experience a glimpse of His love. So while I'm saddened about her departure, why I'm certainly wounded, I'm also comforted by the thought that my love for her was based on my love for Allah. And He is the one who created her, who is the one who sent her into my life, who loved me through her, who blessed me through her. And so He is the source. If He is the source to begin with, then I'm not ending up in excessive sadness. Because I know the very one who sent her as a blessing into my life will also reunite me with that person. And that those qualities that I loved in her, that those are still present and they're everlasting and eternal. Allah is absolutely compassionate. Allah is absolutely loving. Allah is always present. Allah is always forgiving. Allah is ever gentle, fair and just, present. So then I understand through these separations that my soul direction, my absolute object of love can only be Him. Because the heart calls for an eternal love, an everlasting love. But all that we love will ultimately leave. And we have to look courageously on that reality. That our hearts, while attached, cultivate healthy attachments. And we are not frightened by the thought. We are prepared in a way. We are accepting of the fact that this world is a world of impermanence. And that He is the one who will not perish. And that should give us the greatest comfort and healing. And because He is eternal, everything that we cherish and love will also be eternal if our relationships are directed or lived in His name. So that's the key. So He exists and is undying. Whatever happens, do not fret over the others. Furthermore, the beauty and generosity, virtue and perfection to be seen in them, the cause of your love, are passing through many veils, the shadows of the palest of shadows of the manifestation of the ever-enduring beloved's ever-enduring beauty. That's so beautiful. And it's all these statements are based on many ahadith. So this world is a shadow of the eternal life. And we talked about the beauty of nature, and we are taken by awe and wonder and marvel about its beauty. But ultimately, it's only a pale shadow of the shadow of the shadow that we are in love with. We have no idea, no imagination, like the prophetic narration tells us, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, peace be upon him. It's a place that no eye has ever seen, no heart can ever imagine. The source of everything that we fall in love with. And that we love here is only a shadow of the shadow, very pale, very, very dark and gray. Yet it is so beautiful. Yet it takes us by awe and wonder. SubhanAllah, that is the glory, the beauty of our Lord. All this, what we experience, is just a little taste, maybe a little drop, glimpse, not even. So aiming for what is eternal, aiming for what is everlasting. How do I invest in the real future using this impermanent place to invest in permanence and eternity? That's the whole point. How do I connect my dying life to the undying source? And so doing that reality check, that ultimately every day I'm moving towards that source. SubhanAllah, now I'm not grieved, I say. In a way, I'm happy. I'm one day closer to Allah, one day closer to the source, to the absolute source of love. I'm not frightened of death, because the death is only a gateway to everything that I love in this world, to the real source, the ultimate absolute source of love and perfection and beauty and munificence. That's where we are headed towards. And when we know where we are moving towards, we are not frightened or grieved or scared. We are prepared and mindfully and invest in this world with all our abilities to gain permanence. And so do not grieve at their disappearance, for they are mirrors of a sort. Everything that we love in our lives, things, people, they are mirrors of the divine qualities. They are precious and important, and we value them, but at the end, ultimately, they are mirrors of the divine qualities. Allah has allowed us as human beings to connect ourselves to the source, to Him, or disconnect ourselves. That's the whole point. Tawheed means to connect yourself to the One. Tawheed. To connect yourself to the oneness of Allah in every relationship, in every action and behavior. Is it informed by the One? Your love to that person, is it informed by the One who is your ultimate source, object of love? So the mirror is being changed, renews and embellishes and manifestation of the beauty's radiance. Since He exists, everything exists. And so whenever there is a departure of a loved one, Allah is al-Baqi, He is the eternal. I loved Him. And through this person, I was able to experience a glimpse of that quality, which is a very, very pale shadow of the absolute source. So, alhamdulillah, thanks be to Allah that He allows us to experience a glimpse of His beauty in this world and gives us a taste. But it's just a taste so that we strive for the source and not get overly attached. And death is a powerful reminder that we will all depart and leave ultimately, and we are moving towards Him, and every day we are coming closer to Him, which is beautiful. And so the question is, how am I going to meet my love, my absolute love? What do I have to offer? What can I present? What is it that Allah desires to see? I mean, we all think about how to speak the love language, right? There's always this famous, the five love languages. What is the love language of Allah? What is it that He loves? What He likes and dislikes? And to live a life then with that question and bring those gifts to Allah to say, Ya Allah, I come to You. I am nothing compared to Your beauty, perfection, but I humble myself in front of You and I tried my best to become a true human being, to beautify myself with Your qualities, to be forgiving and compassionate and loving and kind and giving and generous and fair and just. And You have honored me, and now look at me. I'm beautified by Your names. Ya Allah, accept me as Your servant. And being in that relationship, that is honor enough. This is sufficient to have value and self-worth, because my little tiny self becomes a greater self through my relationship to Allah. I erase that lower ego. There's no I or egotistic perception of love or egotistic or selfish approach to life. There's only, from now on, Bi-ism Allah, in the name of Allah, in the name of God, I decide to live my life in a way that honors those qualities of true beauty, of true perfection, of true goodness, that honors the name of the One who sent me onto this world. I'm an official. I have a sacred duty. I'm the one who reminds herself and others of the divine. That is what gives us honor and status and prestige. Those are the things that Allah loves to see in us. And whatever we gain as worldly things, we can always build that connection with Allah. Nobody says don't acquire wealth. Acquire wealth, acquire title, acquire rank, acquire, pursue status. But if it's in the name of Him, the Eternal One, everything becomes eternal. If your wealth and possession and your youth and your beauty and your wisdom and your knowledge and your strength and your gifts and your skills are used in the name of Allah, if you're raising of your children, you're raising of your community, your service in the community are done in the name of Allah, the everlasting, the undying, then everything will become everlasting. Because you have used all those blessings then in His name, and everything that is used in His name also becomes eternal. So may Allah grant us that understanding and allow us to come ever closer to Him. May Allah allow us to love the things that He loves and to present those things to Him. Inshallah, in the next world to come. Subhanaka la ilma lana illa ma 'allamtana innaka antal 'alimul hakim wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Glorified are You, Allah. We have no knowledge except that what You have taught us. Indeed, You are the all-knowing, the all-wise.